All right, the book of Jonah, chapter 4, and last night I took us down to verse number 6. Let's just have this sort of just a brief review of verses 1 to 6, just to be sure we're all right. In verse number 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. What displeased Jonah?
That Nineveh was spared.
That's right. I wonder why he was displeased.
He didn't probably like him too well.
But maybe he didn't like him. What else?
Well, he turned out to be a liar, I guess.
He turned out to be a liar. He said, "Somebody destroyed that it wasn't." So, displeased. Should we be displeased with the Lord?
No.
Even if things don't go our way? Still, questions at bftbc.org. You want to give us a... We can't do an email because Dan's not here. Right? Just have to call us. 856-261-9018. Give us a call if you have some comments there or questions. Anybody. And then he says he prayed to the Lord. And, he said, I was in my country and I fled. I knew you were a gracious God, a merciful and full of anger. So he kind of knew that the Lord had changed his mind as the people repented, of course. So in verse number 3, what type of a wish did he have here?
To die.
Is that a good wish?
No.
Who
determines?
We do that sometimes?
Well, you don't mean
that. Is that the proper way to look on things?
No, it's not. But
who determines when we're going to die?
The Lord.
Now, sometimes, as we said about Pastor Ray, we prayed for him. And so the question was not, he had this cancer, Greg did, his son all throughout his body, and they had surgery on his liver, and of course that probably spread things. Dr. Williams told us about that. The students got it. Thank you. Hello, Dr. Williams.
Hi, Dr. Williams. I didn't realize then, because they have another, he couldn't get an email, but I sent you an email concerning any text to him.
Okay.
The condition, so I'm sorry I'm interrupting.
Ataxia
is a neurological disorder that's associated with poor coordination. Many patients have trouble walking, they have trouble eating, they have trouble pointing, they shake a little bit, their balance is way off. I didn't catch the specific ataxia that you talked about, but they're all generally associated with those same symptoms.
I see.
It's a nervous disorder.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wayne. Appreciate that. Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. That's fine. So that's a terrible situation. Vicki Albert is requesting from Maine. He's asked us to remember her niece's two daughters who have this terrible condition. Yvonne?
How old are these people?
I don't know how old they are. Vicki didn't say, but if you want to call us, Vicki, tell us how old they are. 856-261-9018.
Child like that.
Pardon me?
It's terrible.
It's too bad, especially I have two of my wife's very bad indeed. So here, take my life. Now, of course, there's Pastor Rainey. It's a question with cancer throughout his body. He realized that it's a question. That's Randy's son. You know, he realized the cancer was throughout his body. And not a question of if he was going to die, because they were sure that they couldn't do it. Just all throughout. But it's a question of when. And so they had to make a decision. Greg had to make a decision. His wife had to make a decision. That's Mr. Randy, to pull the plug. And then it's up to the Lord. It's the life with those. That's the decision that he made. Hello, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Thank you,
Ray.
Thank you. I appreciate
your
phone call so much.
Tell us all about that, about Greg, because we're hearing our Bible study and they want to hear about it.
Well, good. In fact, the whole community of
Thank you. it's on broadcast all over the world, and it's on our internet, and we appreciate that, because we had a report from Wendy that the life support was removed, see, so apparently that was not exactly correct. You maybe thought about it, but it has not yet been removed. So we appreciate that, and we'll keep praying and praying for you folks that the Lord may honor His word. God bless you. Thank you for that report.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Give us a call, 856-261-9018. That was interesting. Right here, that's true. We mentioned it. I'm glad that...
I'm Jonah.
So, Jonah wanted to die. Of course, said death wish. And, of course, Paul one time wanted to die. And Job wanted to die. Different ones in the Bible. It's just sad enough. But the Lord must determine that exactly what it is. A lot of people take their own lives. Is that scripture?
No.
That's horrible, isn't it?
God gives us life. And throw that gift away.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And how can we use our lives that God has given us?
As best we can for the Lord, to live in His Word.
Best we can to live in His Word and to honor Him and to take care. We're not going to be without sickness, without health, without tiredness sometimes. Yeah, Bob?
Sometimes it gets too great and people can't handle it. I don't believe in taking your life, but I can understand it. When I was first went to Bible school, Moody Bible Institute, the president was Will Houghton, and he wasn't my president very long because he died. And the reason he died was that he had these terrible headaches, and I guess he couldn't stand any longer, and he died, and he took his life. Now, I don't know if he... I don't know if he did it on purpose, but he took his own life. He took pills, but whether he knew they would kill him, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was...
There's a whole state that's had euthanasia is now...
I don't think it was euthanasia he was doing. I think it... I don't know what to say.
Whatever happened, but there's a whole state, I understand, recently that has euthanasia. It's legal, some of it. Dr. Gavorkian, he was making it possible for people to die on that. Well, it's unfortunate that the medical people want to help that, but I know some people say, well, I've had enough. If Obama's health care ever gets into the way, it will be the team that will determine whether you die or I die, because they say, well, you're 85, you're 82, you're 81, or you're too old. We can't have a heart transplant. We can't have these things like that. Like Bill Clinton had today, and the stent's put into his heart, and we can't have a new hip or anything. Die, because it costs too much. So, see, there will be Kevorkian, Dr. Kevorkian, and with euthanasia, our old folk, if that bill ever gets into effect. So, we have hope and pray, but Jonah had a desire to die. He said, take my life from me. He said that at different places, different times. That's in verse number 8, he said the same thing. Better to die than to live. Now, in what way would it be better for someone to die than to live? Was Jonah right, or was he wrong in saying that?
He was wrong, but he thought he was right at the time.
What is it better to die than to live? Is it ever better to die than to live?
If you're going
that's not our decision to make.
Yeah. All right.
But if you're going to reject Jesus, you know, and you're like, if you're saved and you're going to reject what He says and live a sinful life, it's better that you die than live a sinful life.
As far as the life that you're living, not worth the legs of war.
But when you have the Holy Spirit, He helps you through everything.
Yes.
I mean, I always felt that I was never alone after, you know, my husband died and my mother died or whatever. I feel He's with me always.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when things get tough, you know, I just talk to Jesus and He like shows me the answer. It's like unbelievable how He can, you know, just give it to you immediately.
Yes. Sometimes when the people are sinning beyond God's will, He takes them to sin unto physical death, doesn't He? The Lord does take them, like Ananias of the fire and others. Huh?
This is so interesting. As many of you know, I send birthday cards, and recently Mrs. David O. Fuller had a birthday, and I hadn't heard from her for quite a few years. And I didn't know whether she was living or dead, so I sent a card and said, please forward. And while we were gone to Jacksonville, she called.
Uh-huh.
And she was going to be 102, and she got my card. It's this year I'm not exactly sending birthday cards. I'm sending just little notes. And she got it, and I have to remember to call her back.
Yes.
She's 102.
That's very old.
Isn't that something? I didn't know if she was living or not, but that's Dr. Fuller's wife.
Dr. Fuller was a great soldier for the Lord, the King James Bible, written several, three books at least, editor of them. And so better to live, to die than to live, says Jordan. And so, to us that verse 4, the Lord brought him out for what sin? In verse 4.
I guess being angry.
Being angry. Do us thou well to be angry? In other words, should be angry with the things of the Lord. Turn out the city and made a booth and sat on the shadow, see what would become of the city. What's going to become of the city? What did he predict would happen to the city?
That it would be destroyed.
It would be destroyed, see. But then he wondered about it. Of course, in chapter 3, they repented and sackcloth and ashes, the whole city, from the one of the church right down to the mayor and the city right down to the little ones and the animals. And so then God prepared a gourd in verse 6. What is a gourd?
Like a big pumpkin.
Big pumpkin. And what did Jonah do with that gourd?
Well, he was sitting in his booth and he was so hot.
All right.
But God made a fast-growing plant.
All right. And he sat under the shadow, repent from his grief, succeeding by the gourd. All right, we're starting in with tonight's lesson, verses 7 and 5. Let's read verse 7, 8, 9 together. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the south east beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And Jonah said to, God said to Jonah, do thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. All right, verse number 7.
He was really a depressed man.
A depressed person. Questions? We can't go questions. 856-261-9018. Give us a call. See what you're doing. And some comments on these or questions. So God prepared a worm. What did that worm do? Yes, ma'am?
This is very interesting. God prepared a whole lot of things for John.
Yes.
He prepared the fish. He prepared
a windstorm.
He prepared the hearts of the people.
Lord, the hearts.
He prepared maybe the sun, and then he prepared the vine and everything.
Uh-huh.
He prepared a worm.
Power, preparation, and omnipotence. All powerful.
The wind.
Wind.
That happened.
So what did the worm do in verse number 7?
He ate the plant.
Now, must have been a good-sized worm, or actually a big appetite. He ate the gourd. And what happened to the gourd once he started eating it?
It withered.
What happens when a gourd withers?
It dies.
And so,
dried up.
So his shade from the sun was no longer there.
Right.
So then in verse number 8, when the sun rose, what did God prepare here?
East wind.
East wind. Vehement. What does vehement mean?
Strong.
And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. And what happened to Jonah when the sun beat upon him?
He fainted. And wished that he would die.
Again, a second wish. So you have to. And the previous verse, in verse 3, he wanted to die. Now here in verse number 8, he wanted to die. Again, he said, it's better for me to die than to let you live.
Did he want to die when he was in the fish? I can't remember.
I think he did die in the fish, but...
But did he want to? He seems to be wanting to die a lot.
I'm not sure.
He's so disgusted with life. Life is too hard for Jonah.
I think he was complaining because he was getting like sick in the fish, that he said he could feel the waves and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, see, of course, I believe he did in the belly of the fish in verse chapter 2,
no,
verse 2.
I don't know
that he wanted to die, but the Lord spit him out of that fish and out upon the land. But he wanted to die, and he had a death wish. And so those at least... Paul at one point had that wish, and also, of course, we said before, Job had that wish, and here, Jonah, and others in the scripture, unfortunately, wanted to hear that.
I asked Dr. Williams to read some medical stuff on David,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he was dying,
mm-hmm.
and David said, I'm dying.
Mm-hmm.
He said it 2 times, but he said it right when he was dying, so I think it was interesting.
Yes, he knew that he was dying, didn't he, David, or son? So, then, in verse number 9, let's read 9, 10, and 11 together. And God said to Jonah, "Do it not well to be angry for the gourd?" He said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand, also much cattle?" Well, in verse number 9, it goes, "Thou wilt be angry." Again, the Lord asked him about his anger for the gourd. And what did he say in verse 9?
He said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death."
So he was justifying himself. Do people do that sometimes?
We all do.
We all do. We sort of say, "We're right, and everybody else is wrong." But to the Lord, speaking to the Lord, see, the Lord spoke to them as a prophet. God does not speak after the Bible and the New Testament. Really, he doesn't speak in that way, but in the Old Testament, he spoke to different ones, and Jonah was one that he spoke to. He had a conversation with him, just like with Job. Remember the last part of Job? God spoke to Job and straightened him out a little bit and some of the things. I'm angry even unto death. Well, sometimes anger leads to death, leads to a heart attack or something else, stress, whatever it may be. But then the Lord talked about the gourd. What does pity mean?
Feel sorry for.
Feel sorry. Why did the Lord say, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd"?
I don't know.
Did he want the gourd to wither?
No, he wanted the gourd.
Because it was good for him.
It's good for him. He got shame. So he had pity. He was sorry about it. For this thou hast not labored.
Right.
Neither made it to grow. Who did labor and make it to grow?
The Lord.
The Lord himself made that gourd grow to make him shave. Came out of the night, perished in the night. Some of these things, what do we call things that are nightly?
That are nightly?
Yes.
Nocturnal?
See, they come at night and then they change sometimes. So, and things that are coming up and back, ephemeral. That big word is ephemeral. Remember, it's like the ephemeral from Himera means a day. Just come up in a day and they're gone, ephemeral. Very, very slow, very quick, coming up and going down. See, some people are very, they come up one side and down another. I mean, as far as their popularity is up and down. And some things, this was ephemeral. In other words, it comes up and down very quickly. And perished in the night and came up in the night. And then God applies that in verse number 11. How does he apply the gourd and the pity in verse 11?
Nineveh was a lot more important than a pumpkin or a gourd.
All right. And so it's quite a sparing Nineveh.
Right. And there was 64,000 persons.
And how many in a score?
20.
20. I remember 4 score years and the Romans later began to realize 4 score years or 5 score years.
How many were 4 score?
4 score, yeah. And 10 or whatever.
Yeah, and 4 score and something years.
That's right. So score is 20. So 6 score would be how many?
Don't make it multiply.
120,000. Okay. See, 120,000. What kind of persons were these 120,000?
Well, they weren't righteous.
They weren't righteous. What else?
They weren't educated. They didn't know
their lessons. Well, would it be necessarily educated? Possibly. What else might it be?
I know you want to say children.
They can't just be right hand and their left.
Does that necessarily mean no education? Left hand or right hand?
Sometimes people don't know their left hand. They're dyslexic or something. They don't know their left hand. So, but the whole town of...
What kind of people don't know the right hand from the left? Give me some individual human beings.
Liberal Democrats, ambidextrous. My mother had trouble with the right hand.
Ambidextrous.
Yes.
Left hand, right.
Because she could use both of her hands, right and left. So when she first learned how to drive, she had problems, you know, if somebody said to her, "Make a right."
Yeah.
Because she was, you know, ambidextrous. She could use her right hand and her left.
Yeah, ambidextrous. Now, we had a lady that did our mender drafting one time down in the basement, and she didn't know left or right sometimes. So there are some instances where adults don't know the left from the right.
And they can be very smart, but they...
Very smart, so intelligence is not it. It's just who else does
learning
not know?
Learning disabilities.
Certain learning disabilities.
Sometimes you can't put your shoes on right. You have to lay them out a certain way.
Some of us have more trouble than other people.
That's true.
I have trouble with my shoes.
Yeah.
The right and the left.
Yes. All right. So confession is good for the soul.
So I have a special thing on this show so that I know that this one goes so well.
But just because you don't have any problems like that, some of us are full of problems.
All right. So now my wife's sister could not tell the right and the left. She was Beverly. And she had a mental incapacity, she couldn't tell right. It was brain damage.
She might have known left and right, but we didn't know what it
was. Well, we didn't know about that. Who else on this earth doesn't know right from left?
You want us to say Jonah.
Well, I'm asking the question.
Say, I don't know.
Him or the answer?
Who? You're saying him?
Well, my wife doesn't want to say it, but...
I don't want to say it. I don't need to say it.
No, 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 baby.
Oh, okay.
Now, let me ask you this. A baby that's just born... 2 days old.
Right.
Is that baby on the
right
one?
No.
How about 3 days old?
No.
How about 1 year?
We really don't know. No baby's
three,
told us.
Three. In other words, you have to teach the baby right and left, am I right?
Right.
And so...
And in the olden days, if the child used to pick up things with their left hand, they would keep correcting them because they thought that that was wrong, and they would make them right-handed.
That's right.
Yes, we lived in the olden days. That's what my husband did.
Yes. Sometimes...
I didn't want to do it, but I obeyed my husband.
Now, sometimes brains are the left-handed, and some brains are the right-handed, see? So,
and maybe that's what happened with me. Maybe I'm supposed to be left-handed. That's why I have problems with my right and left.
Well, they probably kept pulling an eye in. That's what I was supposed to do with David. Always had a chance.
Well, it just seems to be more convenient if you have the same hand all the whole time, if they're all left-handed.
I didn't want to do a left-handed, so I don't
believe. My president is left-handed, I observe, and he's comfortable being left. He's left in many ways.
Obama,
that's right. So, but some of these little jobs, so whatever it is, whether it's they don't understand it because their minds can't fathom it, whether they're mentally disabled, don't know right, or whether they're children that don't know left or right, whatever it is, how many were there in that city?
Like 120,000. But as big as that city was, it was probably 120,000 children, innocents, maybe this
time. Possibly so. See, that's what my wife does not want us to say. See, I don't know why she doesn't want us to say it.
Because other people have problems with left and right hand.
I realize that. But listen, why don't we...
It should have been innocents.
Yes.
That's what he's trying to say.
Yes,
these were people were innocents. They weren't the guilty ones.
Yes, they're innocent people.
Bill, have to say about this.
Bill, what do you have to say about
this? I say that left-handed people are better looking.
Are you left-handed?
Of course. Okay.
They say left-handed people are always right.
Well, that's true too. Well, the point of it is,
his mother wasn't told to make.
Wouldn't it be good? Somebody wants to call in and straighten us out. That's 856-261-9018. Straighten up, give your opinion. The thing about it is, let's start with the little babies and children that don't know right and left. That adds the others.
Right.
Whatever it is, but you start with a huge amount. I don't know how many people are in this city. There could have been 2 million, 3 million, I don't know. It's a huge city. Remember, it took them so many days to walk through? Was it 3 days to walk during 6 days? I forget how many days you have, Bill.
It's a shame they didn't have baseball in those days because the kids all would have learned at an early age left from right by playing baseball.
That's right, left field, right field.
Well, not only that, whether they bat right-handed or left-handed or whether they throw their left or right-handed. That's
right-handed glove or left-handed glove, that's right.
Sure, that's how I learned.
They probably had some kind of ball.
And what about the cattle? Why does God bring the cattle in here?
Because there was a lot of them.
Well, because they were innocents, too.
They were innocents. They didn't do anything harm.
They were innocent.
They didn't do anything harm. They weren't sinful or wicked. They're just normal animals. Yeah, huh?
I saw it on television tonight when I was resting. There was a cow someplace that had a tire around its neck.
That
was
cow?
Running around, yeah, with this tire. And some people got a hold of him and pulled the tire off.
Hmm.
Her.
He was a tire.
Yeah. They didn't know how it happened. It was, you know, they do some dumb things like...
Yes, sometimes they do.
We had a kitten. My husband and I were putting lights together. You know, there were these little lanterns things.
Uh-huh.
We had a litter of kittens at the time. And he was playing with the little plastic things and got his head stuck in one of these lanterns.
The kitten was.
So we were laughing because we couldn't catch him. He was running around the house that he couldn't see with the lantern stuck on his head.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we eventually did catch him and take it off, but it looked like the headless horseman.
What color was he?
He was just a little a little white kitten, but with an orange lantern stuck on its head.
So this last verse, verse number 11 of the book, should I spare? Now, what does it mean to spare?
They didn't get destroyed.
They did not get destroyed. They were safe, at least at that time. Now, 100 years later,
right.
This Nineveh was destroyed because they did not keep their repentance. Is it possible for nations that repent once not to continue to repent?
Mm-hmm.
And go back.
Look what's happened here in the United States.
Look what's happened in history. That's right. We started one way with the blessings of the Lord. Now, if you speak about the Lord, you're almost cursed and you can't do anything. And can't even pray and different things. And we have all different kinds of things. We have
scriptures in the constitution of all 50 states.
Yes. Scriptures all in. Now they want to ban this and ban that. And we're in a terrible situation, terrible shape. But God spared Nineveh.
I just want to say, I can't remember it.
Now, who else does God spare in the life in which we're living?
The king. He repented.
Yes, he did.
And when your leader repents, people start looking and see, why is he repenting? And that's why the whole place repented, because of his leadership.
The king, the princes, and all the officials repented and sacrificed. Now, in this day and age in which we live, who does God spare from utter destruction?
Believers.
Saved, born again Christians.
We're going to be raptured eventually.
We're taken out before this 7 years of bad tribulation comes. He spares those that are born again, saved, and have trusted, genuinely trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not only from the tribulation, but also from what else?
Eternal death.
Eternal death, the lake of fire and hell. Spares. Mm-hmm. Now, why does God spare those that are trusting Christ as Savior?
They trust him.
Is he unjust for doing that?
No, because we belong to him.
All right. How can he spare those of us who are trusting his son?
Through the blood of his son, Jesus.
The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So I'm repenting.
Repenting, changing, agree with God that we're sinners, and trust the Lord Jesus, accept him. And on the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, to die for our sins in our place, he spares us eternal death, the lake of fire, and hell. It's an important thing. And this, I think, is an illustration of God's mercy, his grace, his long-suffering, and sparing people that have come to the right place in their mind. See, they repented. They changed their mind concerning the Lord. They were wrong, and they finally said, the Lord is right. And they prayed to the Lord, and he spared them. And we've got that same merciful God. Any other comments or questions on chapter 4? Or Jonah? Or Jonah at all?
That is.
That's all for that. But let's just read a few verses and we'll close from Micah. That's the next book.
No, I don't have that thing.
It's on the back there. It's back of you, honey. It says the Micah there. I didn't know just how many verses we have, but Micah was written to Judah.
Yes.
It's written to Judah, but also it talks about the southern kingdom of Judah, but also the northern kingdom of Israel. Let's read the least verses 1, 2, and 3. We won't get too far.
So Judah was the southern?
Judah, southern kingdom. That's what it says. He preached to Judah, but also he talked about Samaria too, as we'll see in these verses, which is the northern kingdom. But he was from Judah and also thought about Samaria, the capital of the north. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll probably stop around this time. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreshite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh up forth out of this place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. So, just the first three. Oh, what have I had before the... That's all just for the first three verses. Now, notice the kings that he mentions, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, came to Judah. So he talks, he's from Judah, and he talks about Judah, but also concerns Samaria and Jerusalem. What is Samaria the capital of?
Samaria
is the capital of the northern kingdom.
Wish we had a bigger map so we could see it
better. We have a map.
So Samaria is the capital of the northern kingdom.
The northern kingdom, that's right.
And Jerusalem is the capital of the southern kingdom.
That's right. That's right. See, so, so Jewish word is, it's both kingdoms, north and south, but he prophesies. We'll stop right here. I'm going to take this up over the next Thursday, so we trust the Lord will honor it for that, and so we'll stop at that point. But do you have any other comments or questions, though, before we close our study today?
No.
I have to
Hello, Marilyn. How are you? Marilyn Jones from New York.
We have the car.
Good.
And we're
good. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're watching, Marilyn. Lord bless you. And see you on Sunday, right?
Yes. Thank
you very much.
Hi.
Okay. Anyone else want to call? Say hi. 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. Any other comments or questions you might have on the chapter? Joanne, you were saying something.
Oh, I said I had trouble with, apparently, north, south, and east, and west, too, besides my right
hand. Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, would you be among the 120,000 in Nineveh?
Yes.
Okay.
I get lost.
Mr. Ray, would you be among the 120,000?
Well, I know my left and right now.
Good.
I don't know. Sometimes when you get confused, you don't know what you're doing.
Well, that is age. That's true. All right. Any other comments or questions on the chapter today? All right, now let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank you that finally, Jonah, that thou didst give a second chance to, was content. At least he was in thy care. And he realized that thou art a merciful and faithful God. We thank you, Lord, that he came around and was given a second chance to go to Nineveh. Thank you that thou didst spare those of that city because they repented and changed their minds concerning sin. We thank you for the report of Pastor Rainey and his son. And we do ask for comfort and guidance and direction in that whole situation as he has told it to us there in Greenville, South Carolina, the other place where his son is, Greg. So guide us and direct us, Lord. Bring us back on the Lord's Day. And speak to our hearts and use us to thy glory in this week that is before us. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.
I can go to the ocean because once I'm on the right road, if you keep going straight, you're going to hit the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I hit the ocean, then you just follow the ocean and if you go, all the way down the cable.
Anyway,
it was good.
sitting here. I got all the kids. They're pretty taking home.
Yes.
Thank you.
That'd be great. You won't fill up tonight. You know what it is,
mm-hmm.
That's Wendy. She's saying, of course, they did say it's not this complex, but then they rather came from the place I was told you about earlier.
Yeah, well, that's just
the thing.
They can hardly get in the stuff.
So that's like that. All right, then.
I'll be right up.
I don't remember if that was somewhere. It wasn't in this email, maybe in another one, see? Yeah. I remember if it wasn't in this email. I don't know if this is the same one.